Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Carburetor Bowl here at Tappet Stadium on the grounds of Car Talk Plaza.
We know it's a little late for another bowl game, but we didn't want to compete with all those other games around New Year's Day. So we thought we'd schedule the Carburetor Bowl for like a little week or two later. What the heck?
By the way, you may have noticed that all the major college bowl games now have corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
And we're not ready to announce anything yet, but Berman's been talking to a few of the big major household chemical manufacturers about sponsoring the Car Talk Carburetor Bowl. Yeah. We can't quite tell you who the company is, but it would require us to change the name to the Tidy Bowl.
Dougie.
Well, anyway.
Unbelievable.
On a different note, we thought that since this is the beginning of a new year, that we would do something to welcome our newer listeners. I mean, you know, people who may have joined us in the last, say, 3 to 5 years. Folks who may not be in on all the Car Talk lore or the inside jokes that my brother laughs at week after week.
Yeah.
So just
before
the show.
There are lots of things like that.
That's right. So just before the show, our esteemed producer, Dougie, handed us a small pile.
What is he steamed about anyway? We didn't do anything to him.
A small pile of sealed envelopes.
Oh, that's what that is?
And inside, don't touch them.
Look at them all.
And inside each one of these envelopes is a phrase or expression or reference heard frequently on our show. And as we open each one of these, we will try, do our best to explain where it comes from, and perhaps even why it sends my brother into hysterics.
So should we just start right out and just...
Oh, sure. Here's the first one.
All right.
We're
going to explain all these things to the people. They want to know why the heck am I laughing when it makes no sense, and what is it anyway?
Okay.
And if you've heard the show in the last 3 years, you know.
Well, these are arranged...
I'll open this one, and you explain
these are arranged in no particular order, of course. He doesn't even read it, and he laughs.
It's so classic. Sonia Henny's tutu. Now, what is the... I have to admit that some of these have been lost to antiquity. You know, they get the origin, just like words. The origin gets lost, and it's still funny, but no one knows why.
I remember some years ago seeing Pat Harrington, who was a comedian, was on television and radio, stage, screen, everything.
Yeah, I remember him.
Doing a little bit about Lawrence Welk having two brothers, okay, and they sang together, the three of them.
This was true?
Of course not.
Oh, he made this up.
He had made it up, and it was little known that they had a singing trio, and he was pretending to be Lawrence Welk, doing the Lawrence Welk accent, and I remember him saying, "So you found out about the trio, Sonia, Henny's tutu," and it just stuck in my mind.
Well, that's good. And now
we use it, of course, anytime there's a surprise. You know,
sure.
Like, oh my goodness!
An expression of surprise.
But instead of saying "Gosh, old Willikers," it's much cuter to say "Sonia, Henny's tutu." Anyway, we'll have more of these tidbits throughout the show. And by the way, if you hear something on Car Talk that you don't get or you feel left out of, just drop us a note here at Department of Inside Jokes and Folklore, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA 02238. And we'll answer some of these queries in the coming weeks, so we'll at least endeavor to answer them. In the meantime, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Judy.
Judy, where are you from?
From Arlington, Washington.
Arlington. You know there's an Arlington in all 50 states?
No.
You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that.
Well, it's true.
Okay.
Well, you know there's an Arlington, Virginia.
Yes.
Sure.
Of course, you know there's an Arlington, Washington.
I'm there.
There's an Arlington, Texas.
Sure.
Can you see the trend here?
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, you do the extrapolation because... That's from 3 to 50 is easy.
Oh, yeah.
So what's up, Judy?
Well, this is kind of a long story.
Oh, good.
Okay, here we go. About a year and a half ago, whenever I left my house, after traveling for about 5 miles, my temperature gauge would rise past the middle to about halfway between the middle and the red zone. And then it would fall back down to the place where it normally stayed, halfway between the bottom and the middle. This went on for about a year.
So how long does it stay up there?
Not long.
Just a few moments, and then it goes back.
Right.
Fine.
I watched that. Mm-hmm. And I replaced the thermostat.
And did you say,
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did replace the thermostat, and then eventually, about a year later, in August of this year, it totally overheated, and I had a new head gasket replaced.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then in August, they also put in a new thermostat. Now, since August, my car's been great. It hasn't overheated at all, not once.
Yeah.
Well, now the second week of December, twice that week, it started to do that same overheating thing.
Really?
Just like it had done a year ago.
Wow.
So I told my husband.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, honey, that's just normal. There's nothing wrong. But I said, it hasn't done that since August.
Yeah.
So I told my car guys that this had happened, and I said, should I be concerned? And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, this is a bad sign.
Mm.
Well, it hasn't happened again.
But everything so far seems to be fine.
Yeah.
Now, you haven't told us, and I'm going to guess, I think, what kind of a car it is.
Oh, I didn't tell you that.
I got mine, too, man.
I have mine written down right here.
Wait, I'm going to write mine down.
I'll show you mine.
I even got the model.
Yeah. Plymouth.
What do you got?
Honda Accord.
I got Honda Civic.
No, it's a Toyota 4Runner. And it's an 88. And you guys like Toyotas.
88 4Runner.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, Judy.
This is so much fun talking to you guys.
It's fun
I love
for us
you guys.
Because we make up stuff as we go along, and you believe it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just marvelous. I think that your husband is absolutely right.
You
and
do.
That you should just go along happy.
Oh no, I couldn't disagree more.
Really?
I like that answer. Yeah, go along and be happy.
Well, I mean, I agree with that part of it, but I couldn't disagree more with the diagnosis. I think there is something terribly wrong.
Oh.
And I think you have a cracked cylinder head.
Oh.
No.
That could well be. I'm not denying that that's possible.
No.
See, I don't think that what the temperature gauge was doing was a predictor of anything that was going to happen later.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
No.
My brother doesn't believe that.
It's bogus.
No.
My brother thinks that the head gasket has a crack in it and a little bit of that hot stuff, combustion gas, got into the coolant, and that's what made it go whoop, whoop, up and down. I don't buy it.
Well, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
You can do one of two things. You can either believe your husband and my knucklehead brother and do nothing. On the other hand, it would be nice to know if there were nothing wrong. And they can do that by doing a couple of little tests.
Okay.
And if they say to you, it passes both tests, then I would ignore the temperature gauge and do what my brother suggests.
Are these invasive tests?
No, these are not invasive tests.
Slightly invasive.
No, they're not invasive at all.
You have to take off the radiator cap.
You have to take off the radiator cap.
That's invasive.
That's easy.
That's easy.
That is easy.
They have to take off the. They're going to sniff the exhaust. They're going to sniff the vapors in the radiator and check for the presence of unburned hydrocarbons with their emissions tester. And then they're going to pressurize the cooling system and see if any of the cylinders fills up with coolant.
All right.
And both of those tests, if done, will determine if you have a cracked head or a cracked head gasket. And we've done those tests on my brother repeatedly and determined that he definitely has a cracked head. Anyway,
okay.
That's what I would recommend. And if the tests are negative, then just drive it, Judy.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Time for an envelope. Well, this is a thick one. Maybe a two-pager.
No kidding.
Oh, the word is haircut, as in desperate need of. This comes from a...
I don't know if I can explain.
Oh, I can explain it. This comes from a puzzler that we used about a fellow that was driving across Nevada. And he's on whatever that highway is that goes through Elko and Winnemucca. I don't know what route it is. Route 80, something that goes out of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's got an even number.
Yeah, it's got a...
Right,
it goes
90.
What? East to west. No, 90's further north.
Oh, 80.
Okay. And he's driving along... And he, as he's driving along, he comes to some little town called One Horse, Nevada, and he finds himself in desperate need of a haircut. And he goes to this barber shop. There are two barber shops in town, et cetera, and that was the...
Actually, the whole... My brother was trying to set up this joke because it made me this puzzler, which had to do with haircuts. And the question, there were two barber shops in town, and he looked in both of them, and he happened to go into the one that was all falling down, and the question was, why did he pick that barber?
Right, why did he pick that barber?
And I asked him, how come this guy was in such a desperate need of a haircut as he's driving along Route 80? I mean, as I drive on interstates, I am in desperate need of certain things too, but it never is a haircut.
Well, you never know.
So now we have, the haircut has become a euphemism for a you-know-what.
All right, we'll do one more. Seeing you're on a roll.
That was good.
Do you want to read this one?
You have to take a haircut. Take a wicked haircut.
An intense haircut.
So when we talk about taking a haircut.
Yes.
Here's another one. Did you know that they moved the Alamo? You know, we do refer to the movement of the Alamo.
Well, we had a caller from San Antonio one day, and I mentioned to her, just in passing, that it was too bad that they had moved the Alamo. I mean, such a sacred place, such an honored place in Texas history, should not have been moved. It should have stayed where it was.
Right.
Where Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie and Colonel Travis gave their lives, right, to fight for the sovereignty of Texas, and they moved it.
Just for tourism's sake.
Just for tourism's sake.
At least this is what my brother said.
Boy, did we hear it after that. But.
But.
The final word has not been said.
It has.
More to come later. I don't know. Anyway, can we take a call?
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Will from North Andover, Massachusetts.
Hi, Will.
Who's he talking to? What'd you say? Oh, gentlemen. Oh, yeah.
I've got a two-part question for you. One, why do I always feel like I'm being ripped off when I buy a gallon of windshield wiper fluid?
Yeah.
And two, can I make my own with just water and alcohol?
Ah.
Yeah, you can.
What, is that the answer to the first question or the second question? Part one or part B?
Part one.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff basically, I guess, is isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
And water. And
it's
soap,
got some soap in it.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
So the answer is, I guess you could make your own.
Well, how much does this stuff cost? I mean, what are we talking about here, Will? I mean, how cheap can you get?
It's like
a buck or a buck 20, but the point is, first of all of the stuff has a poison label on it.
Well, yeah. And so is yours.
Half of the containers that it comes in aren't recyclable, which means there are millions of these things just adding up somewhere. And if people knew that you could make your own, I think that you might be able to, you know, that might solve one problem.
But if you make your own, you're going to have to buy the isopropyl alcohol.
No, but that comes in littler containers.
In containers and throw those away, too.
Yeah, well.
I mean, how much of this stuff do you use in a year?
No, I mean, you could go out and buy yourself 5 gallons of isopropyl alcohol. Okay?
Yeah.
From which you could make 20 gallons of this stuff. I don't know what the ratio is, depending upon your climate.
Yeah. Well, the climate, in Massachusetts, I mean, we've got a long winter, so, you know, you go through...
I suppose if you take the ecological global view, then if we all did this, you're suggesting that we all do this, not just you.
Absolutely.
So it's not that you're a cheapskate, so I shouldn't try to alienate you on the basis of cheapskatedness. No, I mean, there is. I mean, you'd be surprised at how many people make millions of dollars by taking stuff out of big containers and putting it in littler containers and making a few pennies on each one.
Yeah.
And you want to ruin that man's business.
You single-handedly can destroy the entire economy, Will, if you do this.
I mean, there's
the snowball effect will be tremendous.
There's some guy in Chicago who's sending 6 kids to college on the basis of what we just said. And he's sitting there right now, and he's apoplectic.
Yeah, but guys, you could become one of the 2,000 points of light by solving this global problem.
Well, I mean, I don't even participate in the problem because I don't use the stuff.
You don't?
No, he uses the rag technique.
My car doesn't have a windshield washer.
When my brother was a lad, when he learned
a mere lad, consarn it.
When he learned to drive,
right?
My dad's Conestoga. They didn't have windshield washers.
They didn't have windshields. You would just turn on the windshield washer, and it would go right in your face. It wasn't until the windshield was invented that they started to really become valuable.
You know why it's so valuable? Years ago, it wasn't important.
Yeah.
Because there was no traffic. You cannot drive 50 feet now.
Exactly.
Under certain conditions without... I mean, there are some days I use a half a gallon of washer fluid.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I manage without any?
You drive with the door open. I've seen you.
No, actually, it's interesting because...
You're the guy I see with a squirt bottle driving down the road.
That's it.
don't laugh.
Right, okay.
I have two different techniques, okay, actually. And the people who don't have windshield washers, and there aren't many of us, I'll admit that. But you develop a certain driving style.
Right.
Because what happens is you make sure that you get behind a big semi. The vehicles you're always trying to avoid.
Right.
You get behind the semi because they're throwing up a great spray.
Well,
and if you time it right.
Or you get behind somebody who has misadjusted windshield.
Right, they go right over the top.
Right.
No, I get behind the semi. They throw up the spray on my windshield. I turn on the windshield wipers once, hit the brakes so that the semi pulls away from me, and then I can drive for a few miles.
Actually, if you do it right and get right in his slipstream,
yeah,
you don't have to see where you're going. You just let him suck you along.
Yeah. And you laugh about the spray bottle. I have a spray bottle on the seat of my car next to me, and when I need to, I stick my hand out the window,
right,
and I spray the windshield and turn on the windshield.
You should have seen him going to work the other day when the thing leaked on his pants. Is what he was driving to work. Anyway, Will, you have certainly opened up our eyes.
Well, you have.
Oh, listen, I'm glad. And I appreciate all your input. And so I can make this stuff with alcohol and water. And
a couple of drops of Lux Liquid.
And I could be putting a lot of people out of business, but...
So what, right?
And these six kids are going to get thrown out of school when their father can no longer pay the tuitions.
Well, listen.
But other than that...
Go for it, Will.
You've done a great service.
You have, Will. You deserve the credit and the honor.
Oh, thank you.
See you later.
So long.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, my brother's donut gauge only says a quarter full.
We'll be back in a minute.
And even though Chicken Little says, okay, now do you believe me? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.
A quick shout out to one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort, so you can fall asleep during the first few seconds of our show and not have to toss and turn until the first call before nodding off. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and bounce. Think 82 Lincoln Town Car. The best thing is that they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price, so go to casper.com/cartalk to check out their options. They even have a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Use the promo code CARTALK and get another $50 off. And we promise they won't try to sell you the rust proofing. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
This puzzler I gave with our school-age listeners in mind.
Yes, I remember.
And, of course, Dougie, too.
Yeah.
Here it is. Simplify the following polynomial. Or, in other words, tell me the product of the following string of terms. Here they are. In parentheses, x plus a. Times, in parentheses, x minus b. Times, in parentheses, x plus c. You get the trend here?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
X minus d, x plus e.
Times, the last term is x minus z.
Got it.
And... the answer is, if you go back two terms, the previous term, the last letters of the alphabet are Z, Y, and X in reversed order.
Yeah.
So it would be X plus Y, and the term before that would be X minus X.
Oh, Sonia Henning.
Tara Lipinski's tutu. X minus X is zero,
yeah,
rendering the whole expression
zero.
Zero.
See, this is the kind of question that could be on the SAT exam.
Yeah.
And knowing nothing, you would know that the answer is zero.
Because you couldn't
figure out anything else. So if zero one of the options, you just check it off without even thinking.
Well, I was when I first saw this, I had my first guess was one, the second one was infinity, and the third one was zero.
Yeah. So you got it wrong twice. That's good.
Anyway, who might our winner be, Tommy?
Our winner might be the Reverend James D. Richardson. What a nice name, from El Paso, Texas. And for having his answer selected at random from the compost pile of correct answers that we got, Reverend Richardson will get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, the good Reverend can get our music CD, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs, which has proven to be an excellent three-stage podium leveler.
I got a feeling that the choir is going to be singing those songs for a couple of weeks.
I mean, you just think, you're standing up there and you're delivering your sermon for the day and the podium starts to wobble. You pull out this thing and you can either put the whole jewel case under it, or you can just put the CD under it,
right?
Or you can put the CD on top of the case. So you got three different levels of correction using this.
Jeez.
Wow. What a deal.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new semi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. So don't touch that dial.
Are we in the second half yet? No.
Not really.
Not yet.
No. Don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Earl. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Is that O-I-L?
Yeah.
Oh, you're from Minneapolis. Oh, no, I thought you were from Texas.
What's up, Earl?
Well, the flakes getting mighty big up here. I got a little problem with my 88 Chevy 4x4. It runs fine, but this problem is in the speedometer.
It's a Chevy what?
Chevy S10, I'm sorry.
S10, yeah.
Yeah, and with the snow, we just got dumped on, and the cold weather is hitting us, and my speedometer, as it gets colder, it likes to make noise, likes to click and tick until it gets warm, and then it seems to go away.
Yeah, well, it could be the cable that's making noise.
Classic click and clack of the speedometer cable.
Could be.
Abbott Brothers.
But does the needle jump around inside too?
A little bit. It likes to. It seems to read the speed all right, but I can't tell because my tires are slipping.
How long does it take before it goes away?
Once it starts warming up, it seems to go away, but I'm never in my vehicle long enough to really.
So all you hear a tick 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 tick. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. See, sounds like a classic speedometer cable noise.
You can have your mechanic lube the cable.
Lube the cable?
Yeah, he can lubricate the cable. There's a little device which allows you to squirt lubricant from the transmission end of the cable up into
the sheath.
Up into the sheath, and if you put too much of it, it winds up on the shoes of the guy that drives the car. We have discovered over the years that never works. You can have him try that. I mean, it may work for somebody else. Maybe it just doesn't work on the East Coast. But we've discovered that that doesn't work. Or if it works, it only works for a short period of time. So we have abandoned speedometer cable greasing.
Wow.
So in favor of speedometer cable replacement. Now, and that's relatively inexpensive. So you can go, in fact, it's something you could do yourself. You can go to your Chevy dealer and order a new speedo cable and spend a Saturday trying to put it in. Okay. Or a Sunday.
It actually isn't that hard.
In theory, it is not. I mean, you got two ends. I mean, one end connects to the transmission, the other end connects to the speedometer head. I mean, how hard can it be?
Right. It's just getting to it.
It's just getting
right.
to it.
I mean, if all else fails, just run it right through the window. It's trying to snake it up behind everything that causes the problems. But if you get a long enough one, you can just run it right through the window, and it'll work.
Now you can probably get at the business end, that is the speedometer head end of this, pretty easily from under the dash.
Wow, so it's going to take a replacement.
Well, here's what you do. Disconnect it first, if you can get at it. You'll need the book. Do you want to buy the book's going to cost you $20.
I got the book.
You got the book. Okay.
You got the book. Excellent.
Why did he call us if he had the book?
I haven't read the book.
No, he was hoping that it was a minor adjustment. I understand.
Disconnect the cable first, and then drive the thing, and see if the noise is still there. Because if it's still there, it tells you absolutely it's the cable.
I could just leave it out then.
In other words, you you can't leave it out. You disconnect it from the speedometer end, from the head, under the dashboard, and leave it hooked up to the transmission.
You said if the noise is still there, you know absolutely that it is the cable?
Yes, because it's still connected to the transmission, and the noise is coming up through the cable, and it's going in the sheathing. If the noise is gone, okay, then it's the speedometer that's the culprit.
Oh, uh-huh. I see.
Pretty tricky, huh?
I get that.
Uh-huh. Those are magnificent. I guess that's why you got a radio show. Huh?
Yeah. Good luck, Earl.
Okay.
Bye, Earl.
Bye.
Oil.
Hey, time for another envelope.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right. In case you just tuned in, these envelopes are a feeble effort on our part to explain, why my brother laughs so much during the show. These are just choice excerpts.
There are various things that we allude to during the show, and some people write to us saying, what does it mean, Sonia Henny's tutu? Because these things go back many years in some cases.
Well, here's one that you remember from the not-so-distant past. Sleek black.
This is a dagger. Oh, Tommy.
Dougie wrote this so that you didn't have to say that.
In case you got it
by accident. It was sleek blank beauty, but of course I can say sleek black beauty.
Go ahead, rub it in.
I'll rub it in. Tommy can't say sleek black beauty. He thinks, somewhere in his demented mind, he thinks that I junked a perfectly good car of his that he had entrusted to me.
Yes.
Like, here, can I leave it parked at the garage for the next 4 or 5 years till I get around to doing something with it? And after the mushroom started growing on various parts of the upholstery and whatever, and it was obvious that this car would be there till the end of time, I took it upon myself to...
I don't even want to hear the words!
To dignify this once fine car by sending it to the crusher.
Ah!
Crusher. It's like putting a pet to sleep. I mean, there comes a time when it just...
I was just thinking of that very analogy. Like putting a pet to sleep.
It has to happen. I mean, it's the humane thing to do. I mean, it was absolutely inhumane.
Yeah.
What you were doing to that car. I was the one who saw it every day. I was the one that saw it sinking slowly back to nature.
True.
And I took it upon myself to save this car, so... I'm sick of hearing about it. Get off my case.
1965 AMC Ambassador 990. Black. Sleek.
And?
Quite beautiful. Convertible, of course.
Couldn't take
three
a joke.
On the
Didn't
floor.
Talk to me for 5 years. You know, we did the show from separate studios for 5 years because he wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
Boy, that was tough.
And it's still.
Right. And after 20 years... of his complaining about it, we made a bet which finally got me off the hook. There was some lady, Jackie Sangster, that was driving up.
I remember her.
That was driving up from Texas to Boston.
You must see her quite often.
Yeah, I take her out to dinner all the time. I made a bet that if she made it with this heap of a Datsun that she had, that my brother would never be able to utter the three words simultaneously in the same sentence, sleek black beauty, in my presence. And I won because I had her car towed from Missouri. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paula. I'm from Sioux City, Iowa.
Paula.
We knew where Sioux City was
Sioux
or is.
City.
We know.
Okay, name three other cities in Iowa.
Cedar Rapids.
Good.
Ames.
Yeah, and what's
good.
The third one? The third
Iowa,
one was...
Iowa City.
Oh, that's right.
Des Moines.
Des Moines. That's five.
Yep. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's it, isn't it?
Very good.
That's it.
The only things in Iowa. That's right. We're just separated by a cornfield.
Okay, so Paula, how come you have nothing better to do than call us?
I don't know.
Things are a little quiet
in
Sioux
City. Iowa, you'd have at least something else to do than to call you guys.
What do you want to talk about?
Okay, I have two bets going. Okay?
Two bets. Yeah, I love this.
For dinner. Okay.
A dinner, yeah.
For dinner, okay.
Do we figure in either one of these dinners?
Yes, you guys are. You're both invited. If I win, you guys are both invited.
All right.
Oh,
if you win. Okay.
If she wins.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you win. What's the question?
Okay, bet number one. Okay. I was on an airplane from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Newark, New Jersey on December 11th, and I was flying in first class, and I could have sworn that one of you guys were sitting behind me. Because these two guys were sitting behind, and for the whole two and a half hours, all they talked about were cars, and they had an accent just like yours, and I was like, I really wanted to turn around and say, are you guys on Car Talk? But I couldn't.
Wait, you said first class?
Yes.
No. You should have known right away. We're low class.
I thought, too. I thought they wouldn't be on first class.
Yeah, so we were actually on the flight, but we were down with the baggage.
Were you? Oh, okay.
So you lost that bet.
You lost that bet. There goes that dinner. Let's see if you can break even.
Okay. The next one is a friend of mine and I, like a month later, we went to Minneapolis. We drove my Honda. I have a Honda Civic, a 1990. And we drove from Sioux City, Iowa, up to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Was that about 4 days?
It's supposed to take 5 hours, but I made it in four.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
And what broke?
Okay. Nothing broke. I have a great car. And so we get up there, and just as we're in the outside of the town, of the city, we stop, fill up with gas, and my friend takes over driving, okay? So we get to our destination, and he gets out of the car, shuts the door, locks the door, and he leaves the lights on and the fuzz buster plugged in, and it's sub-zero weather outside, okay? So we go into the store, and we shop for about an hour. We come out, and it's click, 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 click.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay? It's just dead. And so he gets all irritated because he wanted to take his car, which is a Lincoln Town Car.
And he said that his battery
never would have happened with his car.
His battery would have never run out. Okay?
Oh, my God.
And I said, any car that had its lights on, a fuzz buster plugged in, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and left on, you know, in sub-zero weather, it would die. I don't care what car you had.
You're out two dinners.
No,
you're out two dinners because all batteries are not created equal.
But I have a very good battery.
And the batteries are not proportional to the car.
Now, there's your car, which is a little tiny car with a little tiny engine, has a Mickey Mouse little battery.
No, that's not true.
It may have a very nice-looking battery.
And it might be new, and it might be the best that money can buy for that car. But if you look inside, under the hood of his car...
His battery is as big as your engine.
Yeah, you could put his battery in there, and you could have an electric car. Because his battery has got so many more things to operate, and the things that operate are so much bigger.
And most importantly, it has a much bigger engine to start, so it needs a bigger battery to supply power to that electric motor that starts that big, big engine.
Oh,
so his battery has a lot of what's called reserve capacity.
Yeah, but if he had all that stuff on, it would run out his big
battery. But see, all that stuff wasn't being used. Only the lights, and his lights use up exactly the same amount of current as your lights. And so... Here's a battery twice as big, using the same amount of current as your little battery, and so your battery dies, and his battery would still have had mucho, mucho juice in it.
Right, well, first of all, I mean, you do lose two dinners.
But
not only does she lose two dinners, we lose two dinners.
You guys lose two dinners.
Possibly four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was right, I'm afraid, but he was wrong. Why did he leave the lights on?
Who knows?
He should buy the dinner because he was such a dummy for leaving the lights on.
Thank you very much.
At the very least, you should give him a dope slap.
And I figure, who wants to drive a big Lincoln Town Car into...
Me.
You know?
I mean, what...
Yeah, but it doesn't handle well in snow and ice.
Wait, I mean, let me just get this straight now.
What?
He left the lights on.
Yes.
And then you went shopping and you came back and he castigated you for convincing him to take your car.
He was mad at me because he was like, well, if we would have taken my Lincoln Town Car, this would have never happened.
And you didn't say, well, if you had a brain, you wouldn't have left the lights on? You didn't say that to him? Come on, you have to stand up for your rights, Paula.
Are you serious about this? Are you serious about this guy?
What?
Are you serious about this
guy? No, we're just real good friends.
Just friends. She purposely used the word friend several times and don't think I didn't notice
that. Well, that's
the
way it starts.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Is that what he thinks about this relationship, too?
Yeah, that's what he thinks, too.
He's not all over you like a cheap suit?
He is, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, don't trust any guys.
Guys, I can't believe you're going to...
Yeah, I mean, Paul, you sound like a delightful person. We love you, but you're wrong.
Okay. Well, you know what? I love your show.
We appreciate you listening.
Even though
we cost you two dinners.
I think the guy had a hell of a nerve blaming you when he left the lights on. I can't understand. I think it's unconscionable.
See you, Paula.
See
you. Thank you. You guys take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, although you should be coming up with excuses in advance for why you can't keep your resolutions, you are instead listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, known to aspiring Guy Lombardos everywhere as Tom and Ray Magliozzi.
What's the song? He played all the time?
Old Lang Syne.
That's all?
Oh. That was the famous song. I don't know. He played millions of others, I'm sure. Anyway, we'll have more of your calls coming up, plus another brand new puzzler, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in a minute.
There goes Jesse on the way to his restaurant. And that old Mercedes he's driving is something you want. Look at those lines, admire that chrome. You might envy his life, but there's a reason his wife has got a car of her own. It's a maintenance nightmare, way out of control. Yeah, he's sinking all his money down a bottomless hole. And those pernicious vacuum tubes, they'll turn his blood cold. 'Cause it's a maintenance nightmare, way out of control.
And even though the FCC adds people to the weekend shift whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite programs.
Just visit the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalkvdp.com.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and
Don't surprise me like that. When I got a mouthful of stuff, and you just yell like that.
Well, that's why I did it.
I almost choked. And
the new puzzler.
The new puzzler, which you said would be semi-automotive. I remember. So you thought.
Well, here it is. I'll try
it
to make it brief because it. I think it has the potential to be rather lengthy.
Oh, okay. So get right into it.
Long, long ago.
Don't let anything stop
you.
No, I won't. I mean, don't be interrupted.
No,
just,
I won't.
Just get into it and just go right to the end without stopping.
I will. Long,
just
long
tell
ago.
Tell us what the question.
Long, long ago in a galaxy far away. Yeah. A Ford galaxy, that is. Our pal, Krusty, was driving to what was to be his wedding ceremony up in the wilds of Maine. He's driving along this lonely, unimproved, as they call it, country road.
Got it.
Euphemism for dirt and potholes.
Yeah.
And while driving along, he drifts into a state of euphoria. Euphoria is right on the border of Maine, between Maine and New Hampshire.
And Incline Village.
And he drifts into this state of euphoria, thinking about the marital bliss that awaits him. At least the 2 weeks.
He's terrified, in other words.
At least the 2 weeks until she figures out he doesn't bathe. So there he is. He's driving along and he's daydreaming, and in this state of euphoria, and he hits a rock in the road, a big rock. It tears open his gas tank.
Oh,
huge gash! He gets out of the car, runs to the back, and says, "Oh, fudge!" And he realizes that the gasoline is pouring out at such a rate that he's never going to make it to the wedding. And he knows if he doesn't make it, she's not going to hang around because he's what?
Yeah.
A loser. And he doesn't know how he hooked her in the first place. So if he doesn't get there on time, he's done.
She's going to have that extra 2 minutes to think about it, and she's out of there.
She's out of there, exactly. Yeah. So he opens the trunk to figure out some way to get himself out of this problem. And he starts pulling out. He's got like another transmission in there, starter motor, raccoon coat with the raccoon still in it. And he there's nothing. It's his tool kit. And he stands there and he looks down again. He sees the gas pouring out. And he realizes that in 5 minutes he's going to be done for, absolutely done for.
Yeah.
He runs to the front of the car, throws open the hood. And with a few tools in his hand, in a few minutes, maybe even less, maybe a minute, yank something out from under the hood. Yeah. A minute later, he's driving away and makes it to the wedding on time. Now, he didn't yank out the fuel pump, nor did he yank out the carburetor. Those are two hints. But he yanked out something. Mm. Evidently used, maybe used this. I don't need to give any further hints, do I?
No. They don't have to give any. Suffice it to say, he opens the hood, he yanks out something.
He removes a part.
And a few minutes later, he's on his way.
He closes the hood.
Yeah.
And drives away and makes it to the church.
Well, that's a big hint. He does not go back to the gas tank.
I didn't say that.
You said he closes the hood.
No, he yanks something out from under the hood.
Yeah.
And in a few minutes' time.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you what he did with that few minutes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
In a few minutes' time.
He's driving away.
He's closed the hood. Closed the hood.
Yeah.
And he drives away and makes it to the wedding on time.
Therefore, today there is a Mrs. Krusty, and there wouldn't have otherwise
been. No, it only lasted 2 weeks. Now, if you think you know what Krusty did.
Yeah.
Okay. And it worked, I might add, beautifully.
Yeah.
Mail us your answer at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Or you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Or should I say 888?
888.
That's 888-227-8255. 888 is so punctuated.
Well, the Brits would never repeat a number. If your phone number is 22, it's always 22.
Double two.
They would never say 2275.
Then it's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on.
8255.
8255, of course. Well, 227-8255.
That's it. Yeah.
All right, that ought to confuse everybody. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Andrea from Butte, Montana.
Butte.
Andrea.
Yes.
See, I've never been to Butte, Montana, but I bet it's cold there.
Oh, it's cold and it's beautiful.
Cold and no, those are two words that don't go together in my.
Can that happen? Well,
happens regularly.
If beauty is only in the eye of the beholder and not in the rest of your body,
like then was the automotive,
then it could be beautiful to the eye, but not to the rest of the skin.
Well, it must be beautiful in Butte.
It's gonna be.
It looks just like Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from June what to what?
June through June.
June through June.
We start getting snow in August.
Well, happy New Year to you, Andrea.
Well, thank you, and to you, too.
Thanks.
Anyway, do you have a question about your car?
I do, indeed. We have a 1983 Toyota truck. And the other day, my husband and I were sliding down an icy hill, and I casually mentioned that...
What, were you sliding down on sleds or in the truck?
Oh, no, in the truck.
Ah, okay.
Sideways.
That kind of... Mm. I said, if we were in four-wheel drive right now, I bet we'd be stopping a little bit easier. And as we went through the second stop sign, he said, no, putting it in four-wheel drive doesn't help you stop at
all. It doesn't. He's right. It helps you go.
But it doesn't. No, but you feel like you have a lot more control of a car.
Well,
it's become quite a gender debate here in Butte.
Really?
All the women agree with me, and all the men agree with my husband.
And I have to agree with your husband. I don't think four-wheel drive is going to help much in this situation.
If you're
bound for the ditch, if you're bound for the ditch, I think four-wheel drive isn't going to help.
Well,
even though I have a rear-wheel drive truck.
Yeah. I mean, I know how you feel, Andrea, because I have the same sense that I would be in more control if I had this four-wheel drive vehicle instead of a two-wheel drive. And I think, though, the reason is... not so much that it's four-wheel drive, but the gearing has something to do with it.
But doesn't gearing get involved in stopping?
Well, yes, it does. And that's why... but what really makes you feel like you're in control is that if you're in four-wheel drive and really low four-wheel drive, for example, the car simply wouldn't go as fast when you took your foot off the gas. So you would slow down... sooner, and that would make you feel as though you had more control.
Yeah, four-wheel low would certainly give you more control because your top speed would be 12 miles an hour.
Right.
It's tough to get into the ditch at 12.
So as soon as you take your foot off the gas, the gearing is automatically slowing you down.
But not in four-wheel high.
Not in four-wheel high.
Four-wheel high, the effect would be negligible. And one of the things that I don't like about four-wheel drive is it gives people a false sense of security. It makes you think that you can go any place. Well, I'm all right because I have four-wheel drive. Well, you can go, but you can't necessarily stop.
And that's why ABS was invented.
And there's no substitute for good driving habits, good tires, and staying out of the snow.
So what are we saying here? That
you're going to side with the men.
Andrea, didn't you know it?
No, we don't always, though, Andrea. You must admit that we do not always.
I think we're in grave danger of losing a listener here.
Which you'll get my husband forever.
But it does bring up the issue. Last week, my brother did a little review of a four-wheel drive vehicle, a Dodge pickup truck, four-wheel drive diesel.
Turbo diesel. Big.
I mean, what he said was, you should never criticize someone unless you have lived in his shoes, walked in his shoes.
I think slept in his Bronco.
Slept in his Bronco. That was it. And I, during this past week, have had the pleasure of driving the vehicle, which he drove last week. And I have to say that the problem is, we simply don't have enough testosterone. You and I must be wimps.
We are.
Because any real man, I could take that car up north to any one of my brothers-in-law. They would love it. They would hear that diesel. They would jump up those 7 feet to get into that vehicle. They would inhale those fumes, and they would love it. And they would say to me, Tom, you're a wuss.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that we simply haven't. So we are siding with the men, but we don't always. I just want to point that out.
Uh-huh.
Because we are not real men ourselves, and driving that Dodge pickup has proven that we are not real men. And I'm willing to accept that fact now.
You sissy.
Hey, thanks for calling, Andrea.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to take a call yet.
Don't take a call.
This is the
It's my turn to open an envelope. All right, you open it.
I like opening them.
It is nice. It is fun. Too bad there's no money in them. But one.
There is in this one.
Speaking of money.
Oh, it's only appropriate that Tommy respond to this one.
Yeah.
Unadilla, New York.
Why should I laugh? This is not funny.
This was pretty serious.
This is a long story, though. Yeah. I'll make it short. My brother's brother-in-law, Claude Dubo, a man of great responsibility, a man of great intelligence.
Integrity, moral character.
And all of those, even despite the fact that he's a hunter. I like him anyway. In any event, Claude has this little log cabin in upstate New York, Unadilla, New York.
Right? Seldom heard of Unadilla.
Whoever heard of Unadilla, New York? It's a little white spot.
In fact, he has a T-shirt that says, "Where the hell is Unadilla?"
Right. And since he's a hunter, Claude has a dog.
A hunting dog.
A hunting dog. By the misnomer of Princess. Because this Princess is the most rotten, stinking, mean, ugly dog. I mean, growls at everybody. This dog growls at everybody. Anyway, Claude have for many years said, you got to come and visit me in my log cabin in Unadilla. And I kept putting him off with lame brain excuse. I got a lunch date that day, Claude. I don't think I can make it. Oh, I got to have a corn removed from my left toe. And I put him off for 10 years. Finally, I give in, and I travel for 20, 30 hours to drive to Unadilla, and it's cute. I mean, there's mountains, and there are beautiful scenes, and there's woods, and
quite bucolic.
It is. It's
back
quite
to nature.
Wonderful.
I mean, it was lovely for the 20 minutes that you stayed. I'll tell the rest of the story. He gets out of the car, the dog bites him, he gets back in the car, drives to the hospital, and he goes home.
I was trying to make friends. I said, in this beautiful bucolic setting, it's time for me to make friends with this rotten little dog Princess. So I happened to be eating a piece of pizza, and I said, I will feed the dog.
What better way to befriend a canine?
Exactly. To endear myself to her, I will give her something to eat. So I take the food.
Little did you know with your finger.
I take a piece of pizza out of my mouth. I hand it to little Princess, the sweet little dog. And instead of eating the pizza, she leans forward and takes a chunk out of my finger. I mean, biting the hand that feeds her. I'm, of course, immediately, blood spurting from every artery that I own, and I go to the hospital. They put 700 stitches in my hand, and I said to Claude, thanks for the happy weekend. See you later. I'll never see you again. So long. And now you just have to bring up the name you're delivering. It makes me crazy.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jim from San Jose, Silicon Valley, California.
Hey, Jim.
What's
cooking, man?
Hey, I got an 88 Chevy pickup, four-wheel drive.
Uh-huh.
It's out in Modesto, California. I got a house out there.
Yeah.
And it won't start. Now, I've had it since it was new. It always starts one crank.
Yeah.
I get into it 2 weeks ago morning and turn the key on. The starter starts cranking, and it cranks and cranks and cranks, and the truck doesn't start. I turn the key off. The starter keeps on running. I turn the key back on, off again. It's still running. I jump out, take the battery cables off, and stops the starter from running.
How long did it crank and not start?
Well, until I got out and found a wrench and got the battery cable unhooked.
Yeah. So it cranked for a couple of minutes.
Cranked for a long time.
Well, I was scrambling.
Well, yeah. Here's what happened. I don't know how it happened, but here's what happened. Your solenoid in the starter has somehow gone haywire.
Fried.
And it's cooked. You need to change. You may be thinking it's the ignition switch.
Yeah, exactly.
But I doubt it.
I
think it's more likely to be the starter solenoid.
And but it doesn't explain why it doesn't start.
Yeah, it does, because it burned out the fusible link for the ignition.
Ah.
You think so?
I think so. And you're lucky it didn't start. Oh. We've had cases where people have had their cars do exactly what yours did, except the thing started.
And then it blows up.
And then they've driven them for like 100 miles with the starter motor engaged, wondering, what the hell is this noise?
Yeah, see what
it
happens.
It didn't act like a booster motor or anything, huh? Didn't make it go faster.
No, it didn't make it go faster. In fact, it slows it down. So you're fortunate that something else happened that prevented it from starting. And what I'm pretty sure happened is you burned the fusible link, which runs right off the starter motor in this thing.
I see. Ah.
Once that solenoid gets stuck, it's that starter motor is going to turn and turn and turn. I think you've got to pop out that starter, put another one in, and look for fried wires down there at the starter motor connection.
Fried wires, too.
Yeah, that's where the fusible link is, I believe.
Yeah.
And good luck.
Gee whiz. Oh.
Gee whiz. But you don't drive this all the time. It's stuck in Modesto, right?
Yeah, it's over there where the second most famous Italian brothers live.
Who's
Ernest
that?
And Julio.
Ernest and Julio, right.
That's where it's at now, and I don't get over there except maybe once or twice a month. And
Well, next time, I haven't
worked on it again since then.
Next time you go, bring a new starter along with you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you, Jim.
All right, bye-bye.
Hi. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Banff Ice Chai World Finals, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our new truck reviewer is Zbigniew Rick. Our staff bodyguard is Liam Malone. The force attorney is Carmine, not yours. Our director of genealogical research is Manny Cousins. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. The Car Talk used car salesperson is Sasha Deal. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Huey Lewis Dewey, known to the unemployed constitutional scholars in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1502, download other Car Talk episodes, and check out the wide array of just-returned clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week, if you have a question that didn't get answered today, you can always check out our online Car Talk community. It's patrolled by helpful amateurs who often know the answers to people's car questions.
And what's the basic difference between them and us?
Like I said, they often know the answers to people's car questions. Check out the Car Talk community, always available over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.